We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
It is bedlam. It is pandemonium. It is pandemonium. It is fantastic.
Howard Simon.
Oh, my. Brayton, what do you got there? That is a plate full of food. I'm sorry. Brayton just walked in with a plate full of food, and I'm really hungry.
Jeremy White.
He just eats and does everything, and you're thinking, like, how does a dog get 76 Christmas cookies?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Football Thursday. Sabres opener tonight as well. Full plate. 803-0550 to join us. Standing by to talk about this matchup. We thought it'd be cool. Former Bill, maybe talked to him a little bit about trying to defend Lamar Jackson, is Takiyo Spikes. Takiyo, these days, you can catch him on the Believe podcast network. He's got his own podcast, the Behind the Mask podcast, which we'll let him talk about too. Takiyo, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for hanging out with us today. How you doing?
Outstanding, guys. How are you doing today?
Hey, we're loving life. There's a playoff game Saturday, and if the Bills win, they're playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl.
Yes, 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 man. That's indeed. So that's always a good thing when we look at our Bills and to see them have, you know, back-to-back home playoff games and get everybody inside of Ralph Wilson Stadium, what I know it as.
I was curious, Takiyo, about that. You know, you didn't play your whole career here, but you were here, so you understand, you got to know the connection between the team and the community. And I think it's been really cool watching former Bills on social media react to winning the division, winning the first playoff game, first home playoff game. What's it been like for you to watch this?
It's been awesome. You know, it's when you look at it, it's so much frustration. You really just took me back to the time when I remember when I think they played New England, and it was the last game of the season, if I'm not mistaken. And I was okay with them running the score, and I wanted them to continue to score. I was chiming in on Twitter because I felt all of the pain in the past of all of the ass whoopings that I've received from the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the game a couple weeks ago.
Point,
yes,
yeah. A lot of the guys are behind the team and everything. Hmm. Yeah, so bottom line is we all are behind the Bills, and it's good to see Sean McDermott up under his leadership, Leslie Frazier on the defensive side, and just seeing the guys coming together. They really embracing the city, and it really shows when they play.
When you watch them play, I mean, the story of the season has been Josh Allen, his development, Stephon Diggs, the passing offense, and how explosive they are now. When you watch Josh play this season, what stands out to you about his play?
Confidence. The confidence before he even gets up under center. And I think a lot of that has to do with another year in the system, which is his third year. But then I think the other part, too, is I don't know if we will be seeing Josh Allen having all of this success if it wasn't for Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean coming together and bringing Stephon Diggs over. And I don't know if Stephon Diggs will be having this much success if it wasn't for Josh Allen. And so when I look at this overall big picture looking down, I think they brought in superstar pieces, but very complementary of each other. And the guys understand that, and they have bought into it. And even talking with Tremaine Edmonds a few weeks ago on my podcast. I urge everybody to go back and watch that episode at the Behind the Mask podcast. But he talked about what Stephon Diggs brings to the table and how excited and how much of confidence that Josh Allen now has, knowing that he can put the ball placement anywhere and knowing Stephon can get open and be able to get to it. So it's complimentary football, what I'm seeing all across the board.
I think it's interesting, you brought up Tremaine Edmonds, because I was curious, again, from the standpoint of, you could understand the confidence that Josh Allen, the way he's playing, how it can impact the confidence level of the guys on offense. Does it rub off on the guys who play defense when you get a quarterback playing at that kind of level?
Oh, no doubt, because what happens is you don't wait to get competitive on game day. You become the competitive in practice. You become competitive going against your guys, the number one versus number one. And so that's what Tremaine talked about. He came out and said, hey, I love going up against those guys in practice because Stephon Diggs never shut up, and he's always challenging the DBs. You can't stop him. So now it increases the level of competition on the defensive side, and before the guys even come out to practice, guys are talking about, man, we're not going to even let them catch a ball today, not even in one-on-ones. And so now that's the easy transferable skills when they get ready to play on Sunday. And that's all what we're seeing now, guys, when we see the Buffalo Bills play. It's just the maturation of what they've done in training camp. What they do in private now is being displayed in public.
We're with Takiyo Spike, former Bills linebacker, with us on our Western Hotline. All right, let's get to the defense portion of this. If you were playing today, if you were getting ready to face Lamar Jackson, what do you think would be the best approach defending a quarterback like that?
I thought Tennessee had a marvelous game plan playing against Lamar Jackson a week ago, 95% of the time. I would probably even say 98% of the times. And we know that 2% that they did not have the game plan, that's when he broke out and ran crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think in order to stop this football team, the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, there's no playing a 6-7 man box. You have to get eight guys in the box and let him beat you with his arm. I do believe Buffalo Bills defensive backs are good enough to play these receivers one-on-one and still find a way to win the game. But you cannot go into this game and let them run the football. The reason why is, I'll tell you, I've lost a lot of games. I played a lot of years. It's more demoralizing to the soul if somebody runs the football down your throat, because then there's nothing else that you can rely on. You don't know whether or not if they're going to pass it. Now you're trying to defend two things when you only know one thing is coming. And so from a strategic standpoint, I'm loading the box, and I'm going to make Lamar Jackson beat me with his arm. And it's no shot on Lamar because he's good enough to pass the football. But I'm just saying, if you think I'm not going to allow to get started.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier. You know, if he had the weapons, the number of weapons that, say, Josh Allen has, it might be a different discussion if you had that deeper group of receivers. But really, if you look at their passing game, it's like, you know, Marquise Brown and then their tight end, and you might not be too concerned after that about guys beating you.
Nah, because, like, you have to look at it. It's all about matchups. Who was better, Buffalo DBs or Baltimore wide receivers? You know, who was better running the football or stopping the football, Buffalo D or the Baltimore Ravens offense? So you have to understand and know where your strengths and weaknesses are, and then taking into account that Buffalo hasn't necessarily stopped the run the entire season on a consistent basis. They've had times to where they've done very well. And so best believe all of the games and all of the times that they've given up a lot of yardage, and I think about when they played against Kansas City. That was one time to where when you look at offenses that kind of do somewhat of the same similar thing and being creative and innovative, that's something that I'm going to be looking forward to, and I'll be personally charting this Sunday when they play, well, this weekend when they play.
Got a Baltimore defense question before we let you go, Chiquillo, because, you know, you're flipping around, and certainly the way they play the game aggressively, the way they attack, the way they blitz, they've got talented corners. And, again, the Bills' strength has been their passing offense. So what stands out about the Ravens' defense? Where do you think would be the biggest challenges from the Bills' offensive perspective facing that group?
I think Baltimore D, they're fundamentally sound across the board on the defensive side. They understand what I'm impressed with when I see them play from the front to the back end, meaning defensive line going to the secondary. They understand and know when they're sending more guys that can be blocked. Therefore, defensive backs, they know they gamble, and they understand that, and they know the ball is coming out hot. And so when you have a football team that understands exactly what is going on, and even when they run zone blitzes, a zone blitz doesn't mean, oh, I have to throw it fast. It just means that we're sending more from an illusion side, thinking that more is coming from one side than the other side. And they understand that Buffalo's offense is able to pick that up. And so these guys are fundamentally sound with understanding their assignment and knowing their responsibility. So it's going to be a patient game, and that's what I anticipate. Nothing really breakout from Buffalo's offense, but a patient, steady game until they figure them out. Once they figure them out and understand, hey, this is where we can take our chances, that's when the excitement is going to start.
So it might take a few drives to work through that stuff then.
Yeah, it's going to take a few drives because they have to see offenses dictate what defenses do anyway. And as a defense, you're going to see what they're going to come out, usually with what they had success with in the previous week. And I think this is going to be great minds matching up. We haven't even talked about the coordinators.
Yeah.
You know, Wink Martindale and Brian D. So, I love this game. This game is going to be the best game of the weekend, in my opinion.
You had you mentioned, before we let you go, your podcast, and you had Tremaine Edmonds on recently. Why don't you get a plug-in for your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure everybody, please, check out the Behind the Mask podcast. We have great guests. We won Best Sports Podcast of the Year in 2020. Great reviews. We have great guests. Myself, another former Buffalo Bill legend, Tutan Reyes, offensive lineman. And so we get on. We don't break down game and situations. And more than anything, we talk with our guests about the real, real deal. And we go behind the mask. And we don't cover the coverage.
And you can follow Takeo on Twitter, at TakeoSpikes51, if you'd like to follow him on Twitter. Takeo, thanks for coming on with us. It's always nice having you on the show. Enjoy all the games this weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
You bet. Takeo Spikes on the Western Hotline with us here. Former Bills linebacker joining us to break down the matchup between the Bills and the Ravens, and we'll see how things fare. He's right. It's the best game. We're biased, but it's the best game Saturday night. That's why it's in prime time on NBC on Saturday night and why they're sending in Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, because it is the best matchup of the weekend. All right, where are we at here? I was going to say I've got better to figure out, but now we only got 5 minutes left in the segment.
I have something I wanted to bring up. Let me find it here. I was rolling through a couple things. Oh, so that, you know, like the run and mm-hmm. Baltimore. You've got to talk me down on this game.
Why? What are you worried about?
I'm not freaking out
about their running game. Go ahead. I'll talk you down. Go ahead.
It's not about the running game.
Yeah.
I'm not worried enough.
Oh.
I'm not worried enough.
I told you, I'm recklessly optimic.
I'm looking at the box score of the Titans. The Titans Ravens game.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel made so many bad decisions in this game.
Yep.
Baltimore wins by 7 in a game where they run Derrick Henry 18 times for 40 yards.
Yep. He should have passed more. Yep.
Of course they should pass more. Then they punt in plus territory multiple times.
Yep.
And perhaps the most amazing, going back to this game, you know, this is a little bit of an extension of who have you beaten. But I was looking at the box score because I wanted it to actually see what they did on that final drive before Tannehill got picked off. So it's the Titans get the ball. They're down 7 points. Okay, here you go. First and 10, your own 21
mm-hmm.
with 4 minutes and 13 seconds left.
Yeah, this is after they punted in plus territory with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah. They had three timeouts.
Yep.
In that scenario, the Titans could have gotten aggressive and gone for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't get it, they can still punt it away and call timeouts.
Right.
Instead, first play, pass to Derrick Henry for 6 yards. Clock ticks. 23 seconds later, they run Derrick Henry up the middle.
Wow.
39 seconds
They didn't call timeout there after the run on the second down?
No.
Oh,
39 seconds later, Derrick Henry up the middle for no gain. 30 seconds later, now we're at 241. 240. It's fourth and one for Tannehill. Quarterback sneak up the middle for 2 yards. They snap the first and 10 pass at the 30. They got 11 yards, Howard, in 2 minutes and 3 seconds.
That's ridiculous
11
clock management.
Yards.
Yeah, right.
It is. And that wasn't even it. He had two punts that, you know, the fancy, there's a website, Edge Sports, that charts coaching decisions on what, like, it costs your win probability. He had two punts that cost them a 20% chance combined to win the game. And that does not even include the final drive. And I just think if you look at this matchup, the Bills' offense can pass it. I think they'll be able to beat Baltimore.
Yeah.
They rarely have coaching self-inflicted mistakes. This team is so good at that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just played a Colts team that generally doesn't make those mistakes, and they got by them.
I'm not going to talk you down. I'm fine. I'm telling you. I'm
setting myself up
for a letdown if they find
a way to lose.
No, look, they could lose the game. But, I mean, but come on. Honestly, I was more nervous about the Colts matchup.
I just don't think they're going to lose. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to put up 30-plus. The conversations about
I'm not as confident about that with you.
I am. That's it. Why am I confident? I'm confident because I think this game is going to look like more like the Bills finished the last month of the season than it's going to look like last week.
See, I would go in the – I will disagree with you there. I don't think it'll feel like the end of the season. I think it'll be more like last week. I'm not really that confident in them putting up 30-plus points on Baltimore's defense. But I really think, you know – we've talked about it. I'll try and find the numbers after the show today, see if I can get it for tomorrow's show. You know, in the tougher run challenges, McDermott's defenses here have fared well enough. I mean, like, it is a weak point for some people because, you know, you've seen some of the numbers this season. I'm telling you, the run defense historically here has not killed the Bills. And if that's the case, if they come up with a plan, and let's say Takeo is right, let's say they load the box and they challenge Lamar Jackson in the passing game to beat the Bills. He doesn't have the weapons. It's not even as much about, I'm not telling you Lamar's not a pocket passer. He can throw the ball. Look at his weapons. They're just not a deep team when it comes to their receiving game weapons. So if you are going to say, our main goal is to stop your run, you throw it. And you get them to throw the ball more than they want to. I do not have a scenario where they lose this game because of Baltimore's passing game. It's not deep. It's two guys. And if you can neutralize Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews, I don't know who else makes plays for these guys. So,
well,
I mean, I think there's the confidence. I'm confident about the Bills' defensive matchup. I think they'll come up with a game plan. I'm just not where you are in terms of the offense scoring 30 points. I just don't know if they're going to be able to put up that kind of – I don't think they'll do that against their defense. Unless
for me,
Peters and Judon are both out, that's a big help.
For me, it doesn't matter what you say about their offense. Like, it boils down to, I don't think Baltimore will keep up. I don't think they can keep up.
No matter what, yeah. Right.
No matter what. I mean, I know
even if they're having
offense,
some success running the ball.
I know their scoring offense was not that far behind the Bills. I do think it's a good team.
Yep.
You know, it's a matchup league, and maybe the Bills lose their matchups, and we come on Monday, and it's like, wow, I guess the run defense did have a rough day, or the corners blanketed the receivers. But no team has been able to cover these receivers.
Right.
No team has been able to get Josh Allen to have a bad day against the blitz. And if the Ravens are stubborn, and a lot of teams are, if the Ravens are stubborn, and as a lot of us expect, start out blitzing and say, we'll change it once he starts beating us. When do you change it?
Yeah.
After the third touchdown? After the second touchdown? I'm just bullish on the Bills' offense. I think it'll be a game that Baltimore can't keep up. And, like, what would even the stat line be for Baltimore running the ball where I would have to be afraid that the Bills couldn't keep up with that? 260
yards
gonna
on say, the ground? I was going to say, isn't that what they had against Tennessee? Something like that?
They did. And how many points did they score?
20.
20?
Yeah.
Like, how worried should I be about 260 yards rushing?
Right.
Well, I mean, I know you should be worried about it because it's ball control. The only reason I would worry about it is because it limits the number of possessions
for the Bills' offense. But I would think you'd worry. I guess first off, with the running game, yes, time of possession. Okay, it's shrinking the game. Maybe this is the Kansas City game discussion where you do have fewer possessions for your offense because Kansas City's running the ball so much, it's taking time off the clock. You'd also, I guess the only thing you'd worry about is, I mean, like explosive runs. Not a whole bunch of 6-yard runs, but like 20-plus yard runs. And by the way, Baltimore's good at that. They were among the league leaders in explosive runs this season. Yeah. Like top 10, I think, in 20-plus yard runs.
What do you have for explosive passes?
Oh, I don't know. Their passing game is last in terms of yards per game.
I just meant for the Bills. Like, I bet the Bills are got to be in the top explosive passes.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up and see. I would assume they're among the league leaders in explosive passes for the Bills offense you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
They've got to be among the league leaders. Could you lose a game? Yeah, if they have it and they run it 40 times for 270 yards and you have 8 possessions offensively, the margin of error for your offense shrinks. And if Dakeo Spikes is right and might take your few possessions to figure out Baltimore's defense, that's even more complicated or even more problematic for the Bills. I don't think they're going to get gouged in terms of the run game, and I don't think they're going to, you know, Baltimore's going to have like a plethora of chunk runs that will really be the nail in your coffin. I just don't see that happening on Saturday night. I was going to say Sunday.
It's funny. Like, I'll say all that and say, like, I mean, I think Baltimore is definitely good enough to win the game.
Oh, for sure they are.
I just think the Bills will.
I told you, man. I'm not going to say it.
I'm not as confident as I was that they would beat the Steelers. When they played the Steelers, it was just going to beat this team. Pittsburgh is not even that good.
Right.
As long as they make their money against the defense, and of course they did against Pittsburgh, who was what? The blitz-heaviest team in the league, and Baltimore was two? Like, they did fine. It took them a half to figure it out, and they figured it out, and they ran away with the game.
Well, you never worried about Pittsburgh's offense.
That's true.
I mean, they can't. They literally couldn't run the ball.
Right. I mean, they're the worst running team in the league.
Yeah. So let me grab one of these for the break, if I can. Bob in Syracuse, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. And I was just thinking about that last year's Ravens game. I know this is a completely different team. They did sack Josh, I think it was six times.
Yeah, 6 times.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is I just want to get your opinion on this. I know I'm losing Zach. Do you think that we have so many receivers that we're going to activate? I mean, I would assume that their Isaiah McKenzie is going to be activated, right? Now we're loaded. Are they going to activate, do you believe, Gilliam, or do you think that they're going to activate Lee Smith as their second tight end before supporting the running game? Because this is the way I see it. We got to protect Josh. We have to. There's no question about it. But we're going to need some production out of our running game. If we run collectively for 30 to 40 yards, I think – we're going to be in trouble. I think we're going to have to run for at least 60 to 70 to 80 yards to win this football. Right.
Well, you could run for – if you're only looking for 60 yards, you don't need to activate Lee Smith.
Yeah, I mean, Josh can do that.
Yeah.
Right?
And Reggie Gilliam can block. I mean, he can help, you know.
Do you think they're going to activate Lee Smith? Or
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would want my best weapons to throw the football.
Right.
I wonder if the availability of Zach Moss would have changed how they did it, you know. They want to leave the power element there, and they could trust Singletary to do that and still have Lee Smith.
Go ahead.
No, I just wonder if no Zach Moss means, all right, well, is it just next man up, or do we have an idea of a little bit less of a power set just because, you know, our power back that they've leaned on the second half of the season is not available?
Or this may sound crazy, but to your question, Bob, about activating Lee Smith, I would not do it for run game purposes. Okay? I still think you're going to beat Baltimore. You're throwing the football. You're sprinkling in runs. The only other thing I was thinking about is, you know, Moss, I mean, by the way, was good at pass pro. Would you have Lee Smith because you're going to do a little bit more max pass pro? You're going to have, you know, you might keep him in as a blocking tight end on some pass plays because you're worried about their blitzes and you think we'd like to get somebody, maybe he's better than Gilliam at pass protection. I mean, Gilliam wouldn't be a weapon down in the passing game in terms of catches, right? So maybe you would do that if you feel, I need more guys in there to help protect for Josh and open, give him a little more time to get the ball to one of the receivers. But I wouldn't activate him for run game purposes. You can run for 60, 70 yards without Lee Smith playing on Saturday night. Let's see. We'll get a break in. Yep, we're due. Hey, quick note, 803-0550 to join us, by the way. Want to take your calls, Bills, Ravens. The NFL has announced that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers are the finalists for the 2020 FedEx Air NFL Player of the Year. So fans can vote.
Who would you rather win, the Air Player of the Year or the MVP?
I would vote for the MVP myself.
I think he's less likely.
Is it a bigger trophy?
Player of the Year.
Do you get a car?
The Air Player of the Year, he has fewer touchdowns passing than those guys, so he probably won't win that.
Do you get a car if you win the MVP?
How he runs it. That's a good question.
You do with the – with your Super Bowl MVP, you get a vehicle, don't you? You get something with the trophy, don't you? I wonder if they do that for the regular season. I'll look it up. Anyway, fans can vote in the
– you get a set of steak knives.
Hey, you need steak. Hey, look, you're not old enough to remember when you'd go fill up your tank for gas and get like steak knives.
You didn't have that
as a kid. Okay, I know I'm older than you. Yeah, you. I want to say it was it Shell gas? I don't know. It doesn't matter. There was a gas station or gas company on Long Island. You'd go fill up your tank, not a whole set. You get one steak knife every time you filled up your tank. By the end of, a few months, you had a full set of steak knives. It was great. 803-0550 to join us. 888.
When we get back, we have something very, very stupid to talk about. Very silly, stupid.
There's a first on this show.
I don't mean like it's a stupid topic. It's about a thing that's going to be happening at 10 p.m. on Saturday that seems pretty stupid.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking to the news department about that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, pretty stupid.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Look at the methodical nature of it, right? You look at the roster that they took over time, just everything grows incrementally, and you just don't see that in the NFL anymore, which I think is really amazing. And Josh Allen markedly got better every year. The defense markedly got better every year. That's just extremely rare, I think, in today's day and age, especially with how fast owners want these things to turn around.
It's Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated on with us earlier this week. Anytime you miss any interviews on the station, of course, they're always available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. It is brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. So, Jeremy, go ahead and bring up what you want to bring up. And I actually had to turn to an expert to try and explain everything that's going on Saturday night.
Where is he?
The expert. Brian Mazurowski is here from WBEN. Look, we have a very low payroll here.
By the way, Brian's also in the group that thinks the Bills are going to beat the Ravens. I believe Brian tweeted the Bills are going to steamroll the Ravens.
I don't even know why they're bothering getting on the plane, to be
you're
honest.
Killing me. Now we're messing with the football gods. Now you guys are making me nervous, both of you. You're both making – but Jeremy was fine. You're making me nervous.
Anyway, the thing to bring up is this 10 o'clock curfew. So – restaurants, by the way, restaurants just won a lawsuit. They can reopen. But there's been a 10 o'clock curfew for a while that you can't be open past 10 o'clock. Well, the thing is, the Bills play at 8:15. So the Chippewa thing that they did last week, Brian, that was a massive success, right? It went well. People seemed to have a good time. There was local business getting business. And you can't do that this week because the restaurants are going to be forced to close at 10 o'clock, which I think is silly. Personally. And then on top of that, even sillier, yeah, is that they're going to stop selling concessions at the stadium at 10 o'clock.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So this is what we know now. And this is, I mean, really coming in over the past couple of minutes. The 10 o'clock curfew is going to stay. And that's according to the state health department as of just a few minutes ago. And you're right. So the 10 o'clock curfew means that that big outdoor, you know, thing that they mm-hmm. had in the city, and that I know other neighborhoods around Western New York, not just in the city of Buffalo, were planning on trying to do something like that. That's not going to happen just because you're not going to go through the expense of bringing out the screens, you know, setting up the tables, doing everything when people have to leave at halftime. So that's not going to happen. It also applies to, and I just got confirmation from the state, that also applies to any concessions. So every concession stand in the stadium will have to close at 10 p.m.
The fans are there. The workers are at the concession stands already.
If you're in a restaurant, you're there already, and you're going to be kicked out at 10.
I'm all for COVID safety as anybody else.
Me too.
Does the risk of COVID increase after 10 o'clock for some reason?
Well, listen, I mean, that's a false equivalence that I don't even like to make that point. It's just as simple as if they can do it safely, then they can make an exception during a Bills game and allow businesses to make money. If it can be done safely and the place is already open for a special event kind of scenario, it seems that the special event can go an hour and a half long.
And this is the new wrinkle to it that I just posted on our website that happened today. So you mentioned that lawsuit that was won yesterday by restaurants. So restaurants in Erie County will be allowed to reopen for indoor dining, four people per table. Yesterday it was known, okay, it's going to be the 100, a little under 100 restaurants involved in that lawsuit. The county health department now came out and said just minutes ago, we are going to open that up. All restaurants in Erie County are going to be able to, we are going to allow them to open under the yellow zone restriction. Mm-hmm. So that's four people per table, but it is indoors, you know, 6 feet, mm-hmm. the stuff we were kind of used to in the yellow zone. However, this is what we're going to be working on today. I don't know how many restaurants are going to do that. I mean, one, given the 10 p.m. curfew still exists. So yellow zone restrictions, that's still 10 p.m. curfew blanket. For dining, so for Saturday, you're really looking at, you're going to have to close by halftime anyway. It doesn't matter if you open indoors. For the other restaurants not involved in the lawsuit that the county says, we will allow you to open under yellow zone, that's the county saying that. That's not the state saying that. So if you aren't involved in the lawsuit, you say, okay, thank you, Erie County, we will open under these yellow zone restrictions, you can still be punished by the state liquor authority if you are open. So if you make that decision to open because the county is saying, we will let you do this, the state has not approved that, so the state still might say, well, sorry, you got your liquor license taken away for having people inside.
But if you're... if you're allowed to open, knowing that you're operating safely from 8 until 10, did the county ask for an exemption? Why wouldn't there be an exemption? If you're doing it safely from 8 to 10, why can't you, for one night, this is not every night, this is one night, say, okay, how
occasion.
About make it midnight for the curfew?
Because the 10 o'clock curfew, Brian, I mean, like, you know, of course the virus transmits all times of day, but does it have to do with the ability to police these things and to make sure that people just don't skirt everything and all of a sudden a bar turns into what, you know, the outdoor Alabama celebration?
You mentioned that. I'll bring that up in a second. I think it's anyone's guess why 10 p.m. is that number. You could say it might have to do with overtime. You know, we don't have the manpower to go and enforce these things after 10 p.m. So that's why it's 10 p.m. if we're going to put these restrictions on. The Alabama scene was mentioned in a statement from the state health department as to why they're not lifting that 10 p.m. curfew. And the key difference, I would think, there is when you're looking at what would be allowed here, what is allowed in Alabama. You go down to Alabama, and I know a lot of people saw the scenes in Florida, especially where there's a lot of Bills fans, of what it looked like during the playoff game last week at some of these packed bars. I mean, places are just open. there. So, you know, you have a bunch of college kids flooding into the street because they were packed in the bars beforehand. Here it's still four people per table. You know, all the social distancing requirements, and by the way, these things are still in place.
That was also for a national championship. Yeah. The Bills aren't winning the Super Bowl Saturday night. And I know people would still want to celebrate.
We're going to steamroll the Ravens, but it's not the Super Bowl.
Well, I would also, I mean, whatever. I'm sure there's like social science to this as well. But, you know, if you go out, you see in this area, I think, you see a lot of people in masks and people just generally in this state has taken it seriously. I'm not saying they've done the best job, but the state has taken it seriously. So, the idea that if all the bars were open past 10 o'clock and the Bills won that game, is it because they are afraid that people would parade into the streets and start doing things?
Yeah,
One, everybody would have a mask probably because people are masking around here for the most part. And two, I just think with, I don't know, the percentage of people that have taken it seriously here versus maybe other places, people might just naturally stay distant appropriately.
Right.
So, the thing about the time frame is if this game was at 1 o'clock, people would be just as likely to storm into the streets at 4 o'clock if they want it as they would be at 11:30.
I'm trying to think of where I would storm out onto the street, like where I normally would go out, you know, in a normal time and watch a Bills game. Like, I'm probably not going to walk out into the middle of Sheridan Drive. And
good call on your
a little
part.
Bit of a different environment.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks for the info. And you guys are updating the story, tracking it over at BEN, right?
Yeah. And I would maybe expect there to be at least something more on this. What is said today, I don't think can be seen as what is for sure going to happen on Saturday night. Just the way things have been going and the way momentum is, you have the mayor of Buffalo, the mayor of Rochester all asking for this curfew to be lifted. I wouldn't be surprised if this changes between now and then, but this is the first time we're hearing from the state on it.
Thank you, Mr. Mazurowski. Brian Mazurowski, sister station WPN. Hang on, I got to tell you something.
Don't steamroll the Ravens, you can tweet at Brian. He is at, was it at BMaz?
Yeah, tweet at Brian. He'll love that, yeah.
At BMaz1, so it's his fault. It's Brian's fault. Or Howard, who, of course, has picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
No, okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. You're the one that's not worried about this game. Why can't they tweet at you?
I am not worried about this game. Nate Geary just tweeted at me and said, I want some of this confidence juice. Where is it coming from?
See?
It comes from one thing. The thing the Ravens do is the thing the Bills beat. Offensively, that is.
Mm-hmm.
The things the Ravens do defensively, that is what the Bills beat offensively. They beat blitzes, and they beat man coverage. So, you know, it doesn't have to go that way that they beat it, but you can't blitz, Josh. It's just like Mahomes. It's like talking about this game as a Mahomes-level game. When the Bills and Chiefs were gearing up for that game, what did we say? You can't blitz Mahomes.
Yeah.
So the Bills didn't. And they still lost because they played a different way and still lost the game. So I don't think the Ravens can keep up. If they're going to do what they do, I think the Bills are going to beat that.
So we are going to blame
Jeremy. That's why.
Yep.
That's why I'm confident.
All right, we'll take a break. Back in a moment. Mike on. Yes, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, has tweeted out, source, Urban Meyer and the Jaguars are getting a deal done today. Meyer will be the next Jacksonville coach.
And he will draft Trevor Lawrence. The story is that he's been enamored with Lawrence for quite some time. Justin Fields transferred to Ohio State well after Urban Meyer had left, so like it's not a Buckeye connection.
Oh, he was not? Okay, I wasn't sure of the timeline.
No,
got
not
it.
Not a Buckeye connection. No. He's going to go get Trevor Lawrence.
Smart move for him.
At least that's what, I mean, I've read.
Seems like a smart idea. Hey, one less coaching opening for Brian Daboll, although I don't know that he was going to get the Jacksonville job. All right, so hey, enjoy the hockey game tonight. Tomorrow, busy morning. We got the Sabres game, we got football Friday, we got the Bills Ravens. We'll be streaming from 8 to 10, so a lot going on tomorrow. Please do join us. In the meantime, have a marvelous day. InSkaters next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!